You know, I think it's a blessing for these guys to not see the mountaintop and end like this. Because when you've been there and you've seen it, like, it's a lot more depressing. So for me, last year, we just won a Super Bowl. We didn't even have, you know, exit meetings or anything like that. We were celebrating, you know, parades and, you know, all of that stuff. And, you know, I think once you've experienced that and then you don't make it to the playoffs or you don't have the type of success that you want in the playoffs, like, it's tougher, I feel like. For 31 teams, 31 teams in the National Football League are going to feel like this.
It's Von Miller. If he stayed healthy, did he have a look at Defensive Player of the Year? Micah Parsons, Nick Bosa, and Chris Jones. He would have been, what, 14, 15 sacks? 16?
I mean, we were just looking at the Eagles, and was it Hassan Reddick had 16 sacks, and he didn't get nominated?
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe. I might lean no, but I wouldn't rule it out. We just also got Comeback Player of the Year finalists.
Okay.
Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Geno Smith.
Geno Smith wins
That's got to be Geno Smith.
Get out of here with Christian McCaffrey. He's always awesome. Oh, is he hurt? He was hurt last year.
Was it the whole year, though?
No. Okay.
What, they missed five games last year? Barkley and McCaffrey? They played most of the year, didn't they?
Good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Sean McDermott, a finalist for Head Coach of the Year, along with four others. Kyle Shanahan, Nick Sirianni, Doug Peterson, and Brian Daboll. Those are your finalists for Coach of the Year. Do we get MVP soon?
I think we're going to get MVP soon, yeah. We're going to get everything else. We got offensive, defensive, comeback, coach,
so
assistant coach.
It'll be Mahomes and Hurts. Is Allen's making the final three? Is Justin Jefferson making the final three?
I think Allen was second in the odds when the season ended. And remember, it's a regular season award. So the voting would have concluded 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh. So he could be a finalist.
He could be a finalist.
All right.
Well, he's not going to win it. Mahomes is going to win it. But
keep you updated on that. I'll tell a quick story before we get back to your
Is this the scare?
This is the scare.
Okay.
This is the scare. So a little fun story for me to tell everybody. So last night, my wife is out, and I'm watching the twins, both kids. And before bed, it's, you know, rascal time. We're going to play. We're going to do stuff. They're going to run around. They're going to do everything. And my son, Knox, he's just like any kid that's just about two. He swings a hockey stick. He hits things in the house. He throws balls. And when he throws it, like, he'll pick up a golf ball and throw it and say, "I throw." And like, that's what he does. Yeah.
Like a real golf ball.
Yeah, like an actual golf ball.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the house, there are some ping pong balls, there are wiffle golf balls, there are balls that you have like in a ball pit. Those are all fine to throw.
Yeah.
We generally try to keep the golf balls away because
smart.
You could do some damage. Throw.
Could he throw it hard enough to break a window?
Yes, he could. And I have thought several times, got to make sure every time I see a ball that could break something, I got to get that thing out of sight.
Because he's going to...
Or up on a shelf because... In the living room,
he's looking to rip it.
There's a television, and like,
oh yeah,
that'd be way worse than a window. Is if I just walk into the living room and I hear him say, "I throw,"
and then just crash.
So sure enough, last night, you know, I'm watching, I'm playing zone defense. It's one on two here.
Uh-huh.
I'm watching the two of them, and there's a little wooden ball that is like the size of a toddler's hand. It's heavy. It's thick. If I threw this ball, it would hurt.
What is this from?
It's a wooden ball? Like a little play set. You know, when there's toddler toys, you drop the ball in a hole and slide it here, and it makes noise and knocks around like wooden toddler toys.
Okay.
And last night, you know, I'm in the room with him, and I see him, and he's got the wooden ball, and he is roared back, and he's ready, and the target in his sights is the television.
Oh, no.
And
what is he throwing up at the television here?
It's not mounted on a wall.
Like, what are the odds he's actually hitting the TV if he throws
100%.
He's hitting it.
Yeah, he can throw.
Yeah.
And he's roared back, and I've caught him before, roared back on the television. This time, as I see it happening, you can picture everything in slow motion.
Uh-huh.
My head turns, I see him, and it's, and I try to get to him. And he, like Josh Allen with a pass rush, he got the throw off.
Oh, wow.
He got the throw off. And this Henry...
Pressure bearing down on him. The right tackle got beat.
Yeah. He stood in, and he stood, and he made that throw. And
like Allen against the Jaguars in his rookie season.
Yup. He got that throw off. And that ball hit the TV.
Oh, no. But wait, you're saying this was a scare
so
that didn't end?
My no immediately turned into, oh, my God. And I go and I check. I'm like, TV's fine. Somehow. I don't know if it hit like the bottom lip and bounced off the.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like a direct hit, like not middle of the screen?
I consider it a miracle that this. That I don't have to come in today. Sal tells a story a couple months ago. His son like was playing, and the Wii controller slipped out, and the TV broke, and like, and I felt, you know, so I was talking about that moment and all that, and you know what, like the teachable moment. He's too young to have a teachable moment other than, dear God, what are you doing?
Right.
So yeah, a full. I mean, I swear, I think it hit that television hard, and if that had happened, I mean, I'm sure that. I'm just months, weeks, days away from these children able to destroy more things in the house.
Sure. Well, I mean, if they're already at the TV, I mean, there's not much higher places to go than that.
Yeah. I mean, I've been living a life of dogs destroying things, and that's kind of normal. And now, I mean...
You just got rambunctious toddlers just ripping
just
balls at TVs.
Right. And so proud of this, of these throws. We play catch, we play hockey.
He's got a little quarterback future.
Oh, yeah, like mini sticks, all the stuff. All the stuff you play when you're a kid. He's getting into all this stuff. And, man, I thought during that Sabres game, I thought like, uh-oh, this is bad. Anyway, so there's my story. I would have probably called in. I'd have been so upset. Because it's kind of thing you know, this could happen. You got to keep an eye out for this. Make sure he doesn't throw a ball into the television. And, you know, he broke contain and he got the throw off.
Yeah. He's always, feels like, is he always looking to break contain? Is this like a constant, like daily occurrence?
There is no contain. Yeah. They live outside of contain, these two. They run around nonstop.
Wow.
Joe and Brant. Joe, good morning. You're on WGR.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead, Joe.
All right. I've been listening for like a couple of days when I've had chances to. And no one's really touched on this, and it's kind of been bothering me personally watching the team as a fan. I saw that we got pushed around pretty well on the field. And no one's really questioned the training and conditioning of the players after all the injuries. Is there an off-season workout program? Are these guys required to lift weights and professionally train? I mean, I feel that that's where they failed.
McDermott. On the injury front, he did bring up that a lot of their defensive linemen had calf injuries, and it's something that they would look into. Yes, they have an off-season training program. Yes, they lift weights. Yes, they got pushed off the ball and pushed around against Cincinnati. But I assure you that, yes, the football team does lift weights.
Yes. Like, they have a top-of-the-line weight room and training facility.
It is one thing that happens in football. If you get out schemed up and down the field, it's going to look like you're soft. It's the way that it works. It's why coaches are in love with running the football.
Uh-huh.
You get a bunch of perfect blocks, even if you are not the bigger, stronger team. Sometimes it requires that. But if it's schemed up perfectly, or if you out scheme your opponent, you walk all over them. I mean, technique, run fits, these are. Is there somebody in the hole where he's supposed to be? Or did he, you know, if there's a linebacker that's supposed to fill this gap and he's not there because he's late, all of a sudden all your defensive linemen are.
Right.
They're not strong enough. They didn't lift weights. In reality, they all did their job. It was this guy's job to fill that hole. He didn't.
Right. Or like point to the play where Tremaine Edmonds gets like thrown by a tackle. Like Edmonds got picked up by the left tackle of the Bengals and just got thrown backwards. Could that have just been the defensive end went to the wrong gap? There was a mental mistake before it, and now my linebacker is going up against someone that's got 90 pounds on him, and it looks like I'm soft, even though the guy should have never been in that position in the first place.
And, I mean, it's all about leverage and technique. On that Edmonds play where he's getting blown up by that tackle, you have one false step, and guess what? You're going for a ride.
Yeah.
It's not a constant who's the stronger man every microsecond of the moment, who wins it in one moment, and then it's over and he's going to ride you into the ground.
Right.
I mean, a pancake block is who loses in a moment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but on the injury front and the training, they have had tremendous success and results with their training and with their injuries for like 3.5-4 years. This year it did not go that way, and the head coach did indeed say he would look at it. Lou, who is driving. What's up, Lou?
Hey, good morning. You know, I looked at Frazier's scheme, and if you notice, when we were rushing the passer, all four of our defensive linemen were going towards the middle of the O-line. And then when we blitzed, we were Cincinnati's best blocker because they're sending the linebackers through the same gap as the defensive tackles, and they're just bouncing off of each other. And then I see Edmonds, the tight end, crosses his face. Instead of going with the tight end, he goes to the receiver in that zone, and Jackson's right behind the receiver. And that's when Hurst got wide open for, I think it was about 20 yards.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what they schemed up, but McDermott, he looks at the game plan. He approves them all. So they got to change something. We had no stunts. We didn't run any stunts. Nothing. Cincinnati's line looked like a Greek phalanx. No one could move anywhere.
What?
Brutal.
I don't know how many stunts they ran. I noticed them run at least a couple, and they were not working, which might even be more of a criticism of the talent on that defensive line. I don't know. There could be something schematically that's wrong there for why they didn't get pressure on Burrow. I think it's pretty easy to see, though. They have four defensive linemen that started on Sunday that do not win one-on-one matchups.
And on more than half his
dropbacks,
Burrow got the ball too quick.
They were double-teaming Oliver all day.
Okay, then why Rousseau, yeah, Basham, and Tim Settle? Why weren't they getting through?
That's my point. What did they do? Nothing.
But
they were one-on-one with these guys and couldn't beat them.
But I don't know that I put that on Frazier. I put that on these were guys that they invested in that have not proven to be great pass rushers.
I'd like to thank you, Lou, for having me look up Greek phalanx. He said the offensive line was like a Greek phalanx.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, like, I'm not sure I know what that is. And now that I've looked it up, I did know what that was. You know what a Greek phalanx
is? I do not know what this is, no.
It is, you know, it's like this. I'll show you the picture. It's like a densely packed set of warriors, like forming a line. So it's a very good. It's a very good term to use for how their offensive line looked, because
yeah,
indeed they did. One other thing that was pointed out many, many times, Listen to me. I saw it on Twitter. Is what I'm trying to say. Put it on many.
What would we do without Twitter?
I know, right? The Bengals offense used motion to get the Bills into looks that they liked. Several times the motion would go and the backer would move here and mm-hmm. then watch where they run to or watch what they identify. They had Ja'Marr Chase doing one of those motion to the backfield, swing around. You're worried about him on a swing pass, ends up being a run play. Like, at some point, maybe tonight, maybe today, I'll look for like motion splits. How often did the Bills use motion?
Middle of the season, I remember looking that up, and they were not as high as they were last year. Like under Daboll, they did a lot of it. And again, that was like middle of the season. I remember looking that up and thinking, okay, they're like middle of the pack or even below average.
And this happens, you know, this happens to a lot of play callers. Sean McVay was a genius briefly, and then teams caught up to him and it didn't go as well.
Yep.
And then talent fell apart for them too. But one of the things McVay said was he noticed teams catching up to him. Maybe he had some bad, lazy tendencies. He took some of the motion out of his offense, had to put it back in. Motion, you know, a lot of the things you can dress up your offense, and I'm not so sure how much the Bills use that this year. We'll effort that. Nick and Elma. Nick.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, first I want to get on a lot of these Dorsey apologists I'm hearing here. At Marino, I forget if it's Jim or Joe, but he said he replicated Brian Daboll, and I saw nothing of the sort. Like, he had Brian Dable's blueprint, and he still failed. Josh Allen had a career high in rushing attempts. That should be decreasing, not increasing. And the only touchdown drive we had against Cincinnati had like 3 Allen sticks, including the touchdown. I don't want our $250 million quarterback piling into 300-pound linemen to get a touchdown. That's not good offense.
Yeah. Thanks, Nick. This is my biggest beef with the offense, too. That, like, I Josh Allen running is not always a bad idea. Running out on the edge and jumping over Tre'Varius Ward, love it. Running out on the edge and He's jumped over like five Chiefs by now.
Mm-hmm.
Getting out into space, making a linebacker miss, and taking on a defensive back, I'm into it. The occasional quarterback sneak when you need it, I'm into it. The second down play on their only touchdown drive was, hey, Josh, run into defensive linemen with all you've got. And yeah. I just, to me, those plays, the number of times that they ran Allen in, not even like the, you know, the pulling linemen where there's all this room and you are outnumbering and it's going to be block here, block there. Allen's into space. He's going to make the safety miss or he's going to take the safety on. In those spots, sure. When you're just using him like a fullback, I watch that and I think, I don't think you have any answers. I don't think you have any good ideas.
Yeah.
I hate those plays. And they worked. Like, that's the other thing. It got him down to the one, and they snuck it in from there. So I end up being a little bit torn because I want you to do what works. I want you to get in the end zone. But if I'm the owner of the team or the GM of the team, I might say, like, you really don't have anything better? You can't draw up a jet sweep, a swing pass, anything.
They didn't run a single trick play all year.
Not the whole year.
Not one.
Not the whole year.
Dable would do, what, five or six?
Yep.
Every big game they played, like on prime time, they'd have something.
They'd have something ready.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that I want the whole offense made out of trick plays. I'm not saying I need 5, 3, 6. I don't know. But the whole year, yeah, sure. To me, that's a sign about not quite having. I mean, you said Dorsey apologist. Like, on Dorsey, I don't need him to be fired. I do think a lot of the language around why he has to stay is the stuff you say about any coach. Well, it's important. He got an endorsement from his players, from Allen. Allen said good things. Like, yeah, I watched Phil Housley get a second year after finishing in dead last, and his players said, you know, it wasn't the coach's fault. Like, Kruger, same thing.
Yeah.
Like, players endorse coaches, and if they're not good enough, because they have relationships. Not to say Ken Dorsey is, you know, like Phil Housley, but the point is just...
Yeah, it's a tough one.
No, well, but the point
but
is...
No, but it's right. It's the right point, though.
Saying that he's endorsed by the players, that doesn't actually mean much. I mean, a lot of guys are.
Right.
All right, we'll get a break in. More of your phone calls on the other side. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Coach of the Year, Sean McDermott, is a finalist for Coach of the Year. We're still waiting for the MVP, if in fact that does come out today. Got a lot of the other NFL awards finalists being mentioned. So far, only McDermott is on the list. Jeremy White, Sneaky Joe DiBiase here on WGR.